Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast. I'm Michelle, this is Mitchell, and we thank you for joining us in this, week's episode.
For us, it's evening.
It is. Anyhow, we ask that you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and don't forget to hit the notification icon to be notified when new episodes are released. Now that our microphone's working, we can do this again.
Yes.
Hi, Mitchell.
Hi.
How are you?
Glorious, no?
I don't remember what you said. I really wasn't paying attention.
Glorious. Glorious.
You know, you probably shouldn't sing. So what you been up to?
Well, I just got my feeling hurt.
Oh, you have feelings?
Whoa, I don't have...
You're filthy.
I am filthy. I was too lazy to change.
Yeah, well, it's whatever.
I was crawling around on the floor at work today.
Obviously. But did you get your work done?
Most of it.
Good for you. I checked on mom today. So, update. Mom had her procedure.
Yes.
So, they went in this week and they did her, the removal of the tumor from her
salivary gland.
And so they did an incision from her ear right about here all the way around behind her ear with the, what they call the facelift incision. And then they came down to her neck. They removed the tumor and they said that, you know, the surgery would have taken much longer if the nerve wouldn't have been exposed than mom's was. So they were very, very pleased. They said that the Lord was working in their way during the surgery. So they removed the tumor, some lymph nodes. They sent those off to pathology, and she came home and is now resting at home. So, yeah, she's sore.
We don't have any results back yet, do we?
No, they said 2 weeks for pathology. Okay. So we go back in a week to get her drain tube out. So she has a drain tube that's in her neck because when they take that out, it messes with, you know, like your saliva and everything. So they went ahead and they put this tube in for now. So, yeah. So she's healing. There's a lot of stitches.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stitches. Mm-hmm. Like, they say it's the facelift incision. And I think to myself, who would do that? Who would actually want that done to their face? Because I look at this and I'm like, oh my gosh. And they're like, oh, it'll heal nicely. You won't hardly even see it. And then, except for down towards her neck, because, you know, for a facelift, they're not, you know, down in your neck. But I'm like, who would want to go through this pain? People would pay to be in this pain. I don't get it, but whatever. So anyhow, she is home. She's resting. I went over and stopped by today and she seems to be doing pretty good. Medication makes her sleepy, but other than that, she's...
Which she needs to sleep right now anyway, so...
She does, and she has to sleep in a chair because she can't extend her neck the way she wants to. She has to kind of keep it down, so for her to sleep, she needed to... She's sleeping in her chair right now, so... but yeah, life is good. I'm just glad she had it. I'm glad that everything went smoothly.
Yep.
You know, we got there, they prepped her, and I went back, and she's... I mean, everyone said everything looked good. Yeah. And then off she went. So.
Yeah. And that's where you sent the message. It would be like 2.5-3 hours before surgery was over. And I'm like, that's going to be like 5:30.
Yeah.
So after I get off work and.
4 o'clock. 4:15. So she went back at 2 o'clock for actual surgery. And they told us 2.5-3 hours. So I too was looking at like 5 o'clock. And at 4:15, I got the phone call that said, you can meet with the doctor in the side room. He'll be there in just a few moments. And he was in there pretty quick. So, yeah. But he said it went, he said it could have gone so much longer if that nerve wouldn't have been exposed, because they really had to be tedious around that nerve. Because the nerve requires, or it does the functioning of like your cheek and your lip and all that. So, you know, he told us that if for any reason they had to dig, or if they nicked it, you know, mom would lose the feeling in her face and it would just kind of hang, kind of like cerebral palsy, not cerebral palsy. What is it? That disease that,
I don't know.
I can't remember what that is.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Yeah. Called. Anyhow, so it would be like that, where her face would be droopy. So they said, you know, it can be very tedious to work around all that. But he said it was, he's like, it was right there. He said, we couldn't have asked for an easier patient. So very, very happy with that. He also said the tumor was fully intact when they removed it. You know, he didn't think it was cancerous, but if it was, that it fully was intact, they did not puncture it. So
perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So we continue to pray for her and her results. Yep. Hopefully everything comes back clear.
For healing right now.
Oh yeah. She pray for healing. And, you know, she's got to go like a whole like week or something without holding a grandkid. So
yeah.
I'm not sure how the boys are going to do with that.
Yeah.
They want to always climb up on her lap and
she's going to have swelling for like 3 months.
Yeah.
Some of the numbness for like a year or something.
Some of that numbness can, they said, can be for a very long time. When I was there today, she's like, oh, you know, my nose is numb. I'm like, okay. So, you know, but if you think about it, you know, it is. It's probably her whole half of her face. But they told me that they went ahead and they stimulate the nerve for the lip to see if the lip would move.
Oh.
And they said it worked just fine. They said they worked with that, and he said that she shouldn't have any problem. But he said the one thing that will never go away is that she will have complete numbness in her earlobe.
Yeah.
So like wearing earrings or something, which mom doesn't do, she would not be able to feel anything in that earlobe. So, but yeah, that's that.
Perfect.
I know, right? I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah.
I just want the healing to be done now too, yes, that she can feel better and yeah, all that. So,
but it's good that it's surgery's done. They're able to take it out.
Yeah.
Everything went smooth.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yeah, it is. And I'm just now, I really hope that pathology comes back negative for cancer. But if it comes back positive, we've been there, done that, right? A couple times.
Yep.
So we will work with that when we get it. So, all right. You have Bible study for us tonight? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't have anything else. I just wanted to do an update on mom.
Did you try Paige's dandelion jelly?
She has dandelion jelly? Did you guys have a lot of dandelions?
Yeah. We do.
Oh, Dawn hates dandelions.
They make pretty good jelly.
Do they?
It tastes like honey.
Really?
Yeah.
Might have to try it.
It's really good for you, too.
Really? Never heard of this before.
I didn't either.
So what are you putting it on? Everything? I need some. And I also need some eggs, just so you know. But I got some English muffins, so maybe I should try it on an English muffin.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, I...
Do you cook?
I had drill.
Do you cook the dandelions?
Yeah.
You cook them down? You
basically steep them.
Oh, okay.
And then you, what's that little wire mesh? Strain them off.
Mm.
Strain off the actual flower petals.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the dandelions, you peel all the flowers.
Oh, I bet the boys love that.
No, they didn't do it. But you peel those off, and then you basically... Yeah, 4 cups. Then 2 cups you put in like hot water and you let them basically steep for 20 minutes. And then you take them all out and do the next batch in the same water. Take them out and then you add your sugar and basically make your jelly.
It's so weird. So weird that they have a benefit.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently there's a lot of health benefits to it. I didn't look it up myself, but... I was just told there are a lot of health benefits.
Well, I'm looking to live healthier. So I guess I can try it.
I haven't. Well, I tried it one bite, but I haven't been eating. But I don't eat toast.
Oh, well.
So
I'm not a big toast person either. I just don't like to have a lot of bread.
I mean, I like bread.
Mm.
But I don't put...
Jelly on it. You like to eat, you put like
put sugar and cinnamon on it.
What's the health benefit of that?
Cinnamon is good for you.
Cinnamon is good for you, but not when mixed with sugar.
Well.
Oh my goodness. You're crazy.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
I know, right? And I had to do that because I was sick for like 2 weeks. Remember last time we recorded, I was just getting sick. I am just now feeling better. Like just like yesterday, I was still not feeling good when I took mom the other day. Like I felt terrible for like 2.5 weeks.
Well, I think I'm getting it now.
Oh, I hope not. I hope you don't get what I had. It lingered on way too long. Don had it and it was in and out. Like, but he got really sick. Like he had fever, chills, like was in bed, couldn't do anything. And for me, I didn't have any of that, but it just lingered on cough and just terrible. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who are you getting the Bible study?
Sure.
So we are in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19.
Okay.
So we are revisiting Abraham again.
Ooh, okay.
So this reads, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back.
Hmm.
So, this, again, just to mention the story that this originally came from is Genesis 22, 1 through 10. I'm not going to read that because it's a lot, but most of us are familiar with the story.
Yeah.
It's a story of where God basically tests Abraham and says, hey, take your son to Mount Moriah and go there and offer him up as a sacrifice to me.
Yeah.
And we have to put ourselves in the shoes or in the life of Abraham at this point.
Because this would be very hard.
This would be very hard.
Yeah.
But if you're actually reading the story, like, there is no hesitation from Abraham to do this.
At all.
And there's a lot of parallels. There's a lot of stuff packed into the story. But we're not going to cover any of that.
Okay.
Because we're just mainly focusing on this whole concept of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to look at this through the eyes of Abraham, we need to kind of recap some of the things we've already covered about his life, about him and Sarah, everything that they've gone through. So Abraham and Sarah have been married a long time.
Long time.
And throughout those years, Sarah was unable to have a child.
Right.
She was just barren.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, the angel of God comes to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to listen to either one of the last two sermons that I released on the channel, we talked about the angel of God.
Right.
And we made that connection that the angel of God is Jesus. So basically Jesus came to Abraham and was like, hey, you're going to have a child. You and Sarah are going to have a child. And through that child, you're going to have offspring or descendants that are more numerable than the stars in the sky, or more innumerable than the grains of sand on the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham had this promise. This was a promise from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of talks about this. This is how things worked back then. You got direct promises from God, and then you lived your life, you know,
and waiting for fulfillment. Yes. Yeah. And fulfillment of that promise.
You know what the end goal is. Mm-hmm. And so to live by faith is to follow that path so that you can reach that end goal. Well, time goes by and Sarah still doesn't get pregnant.
Right.
Well, then Sarah had the idea. Well, maybe it's.
It wasn't her that was supposed to have the kid. Yes, it was supposed to be Hagar.
Yeah. And so then we have the whole Hagar and Ishmael story. But then continuing on, God comes back and was like, no, you're going to have a son with Sarah.
Yeah.
And his name's going to be Isaac. And at this time next year, I'm going to come back and you're going to have the son. But by this point, like we covered last week or 2 weeks
they're
ago.
They're like in their 90s. It's not happening. They laugh it off. Well, Sarah laughs it off. I don't know if Abraham really does. Does he?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I just remember.
So. I know Sarah did.
Yeah.
She just kind of scoffed at the idea. Like, come on. You're right.
Oh.
But because at that point, it was physically impossible for her to naturally become pregnant. Have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there was a supernatural divine intervention in the birth of Isaac. But eventually, yes, you know, she does get pregnant. They do have a son named Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And it was promised that through this son, through Isaac,
mm-hmm.
all those descendants, those descendants that are more numerable than the stars in the sky, mm-hmm. and more... more innumerable than the grains of sand on the seashore. All that is coming through Isaac. And then God tests Abraham one day and says, hey, take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. I mean, if you're looking at this through the eyes of Abraham, that's craziness.
Right, because, you know, I finally get my son.
Yes.
With my wife, Sarah, and now you want me to sacrifice him.
Yes.
To you. Then why did we go through all of this? Like, you know, that would be, you would question it. You'd be like, why are you having me do this?
Yes.
Why did you give me a son only to sacrifice him?
But not only that, that's the son that the promise. Like,
yeah. Right. So how are you going to have all these? Yes. How are you going to have all these descendants if we don't have Isaac?
Yes.
Right. Right.
So this would be very confusing.
Yeah. To say the least.
Challenging.
Right.
But we have to remember Abraham had faith.
Yeah.
Abraham knew, you know, God made that promise that, hey, through Isaac.
And I believe that because, you know, he did. He made that promise. You didn't think it was going to happen. And it happened. Miracle. So I get that. But.
Yeah. That's what it means to walk by faith.
Yeah.
Even though things may seem really strange. Mm-hmm. Like things just don't make sense. Things don't seem to add up.
Yeah.
But you know what that end goal is.
Yeah.
You know that final destination.
That sacrifice still means the new descendants of, yeah.
And that's kind of what Abraham kind of mentioned,
yeah.
Not only here in Hebrews, well, it was mentioned here in Hebrews, but also in the original Genesis story is Abraham kind of, you know, he knew what the promise of God was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was following that path. He was living his life faithfully. So he's like, something is going to happen to where this is all going to work out and the promises are going to be fulfilled because these are promises from God.
Mm-hmm.
God is faithful. So I know God's going to fulfill these promises for me, but I don't know how that's going to work. So if I have to sacrifice Isaac, it's either he's going to bring him back from the dead or something else is going to happen to prevent me from killing Isaac or
there's going to be a miracle trusted. Of some sort. Yes.
Yes. He had the faith that something was going to happen.
Right.
And everything was going to end up being perfectly fine. And he was going to have his son, Isaac, but he wasn't sure how that was going to work. And now which here in Hebrews, it doesn't actually talk about what actually happened, but as we know, reading that story in Genesis is right before Abraham actually puts the blade to Isaac, the angel cries out and tells him to stop. And so he stops and then he looks over and there's a ram stuck in the thicket. And so they go over and grab this ram and then sacrifice the ram.
Mm-hmm.
So he never actually sacrifices his son. And like I said, there's a lot of parallels in the story between God and Jesus. And this is really packed full of information. And I highly recommend you do a deep dive study on this story from Genesis, the story of Abraham offering up Isaac. And it will be eye-opening, but we don't have time to go through all that.
We don't?
No.
Oh, shoot.
So, we're going to go ahead and continue on. Pushing on past, how much time do we got?
6 minutes.
So, after getting past this part right here that we just did, there's going to be some rapid fire coming in where it's just going to be one verse for this person, one verse for this person. And so we're just going to start going through these one by one. So verse 20, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau.
Okay.
And that's all we have on Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of talked about this a little bit in the past.
Yep.
Because part of the way that you can be faithful in this case, we also talked about dying in faith, which means that you are, when you die, you're still fulfilling that faith walk. So for the example of Isaac gave blessings to Esau and Jacob based on the promises that Isaac received from God. So Genesis 27, 27 through 29. So this is kind of the story of, well, the first blessing. And this is where, I'm just going to read this. So Genesis 27, 27 through 29. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. So, remembering this story, the story of Isaac with these blessings, and then there was Jacob and Esau.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered this in just the podcast way back when.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where there was a lot of treachery, a lot of deceit. This is where Jacob, with the help of his mother, tricked Isaac, who was older, his sight was going, and they basically tricked Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing of the firstborn instead of Esau, who was technically supposed to get the blessing of the firstborn.
Right.
And that's what this is. This is that blessing. And like, if you look at it, this is truly almost like it's almost prophetic, but it's not, because this, again, he's just basically passing on the promises that God has given him.
Right.
But if we remember who Jacob is, Jacob would become Israel. The father of the Israelite nation.
Right.
So the fact that, you know, people will serve you, nations will bow down to you, you'll be Lord of your brothers. Just all this, you know, this is a promise of a future blessing that stems from promises from God. And that's what this whole concept of faith is. You know, Isaac didn't see, like Abraham, they didn't see the finish line. They knew where the finish line was, but they themselves didn't see the finish line. So they are passing on these future blessings to their children to help them to get to that finish line.
Right.
And so that's what this blessing is. And even then, how much time we got?
1 minute, 37 seconds.
And verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. Again, this is all blessings.
Right.
It's at the end of their life, they're like, okay.
I don't see the finish line, so then you get this one. And I don't finish the line, so it goes on to the next one, on to the next one, on to the next one.
And we've talked about this, and I've definitely talked about whenever, I guess it was Joseph. I don't think I knew exactly who it was. So Joseph was the one that was saying, hey, you know, when I die and you guys go back to the promised land, take my bones with you. Because I know you're going back to the promised land. Now, granted, that was 400 years later. So that was a future
that he could not see, but knew it was going to be there.
He knew that they were going back to the promised land because that was what God promised. He probably didn't know how long it was going to be, but he knew that they were going back to the promised land. And so whenever, you know, he was dying, he said,
take me with you. Take my bones
with you.
Yes.
Bury them with my fathers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is the faith.
It's a revolving story. It just keeps going. You are officially out of time from my clock. So, what do you think? Good?
Yeah.
Good place to stop?
Sure.
All right. So, we thank you for joining us. Please leave a comment on this video or go to our contact page at purefaithliving.com to send us a message. And as always, if you like what you hear, then we ask that you share this show with others so we can all work together in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Did you just yawn?
Uh-huh.
Don't forget to subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Have a blessed day, everybody. And good night.